He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery. And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin. Today, joined, as I am every Thursday afternoon, by Aaron Larsoul. Well, occasionally. It happens on today, depending on our schedules. I just have to check in, and make sure that you are prepared for the show.
Do you
have a nice tall glass of?
No, you know what? You know what? Go kill time because I'm gonna need one. So I'm gonna get one. Hold please. Go get one.
I'm gonna filibuster.
Are you gonna do Orca Facts?
No.
All right, hold on. I'll be right back. Give me 30 seconds.
They're attacking. Turns out orcas are actually attacking ships again in Europe, which is kind of fun. I will do a little bit of homework here to get the show started. Quick request. Please subscribe on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Please subscribe on YouTube. If you want to help keep the lights on here in the lounge, subscribe and become a VIP member on YouTube as well. I had somebody ask what's the best way to, you know, support the show. You could either do it, subscribe to me personally on Substack, or you can subscribe and become a member of the VIP here in the lounge. Both will help keep things running here.
Wait, there's VIP. There's a VIP. Can I? I mean, so the thing says our background says Hollywood, and it's so, you know, you gotta have, if it's Hollywood, you gotta have VIP. So how do I get involved?
I would like to be a VIP. There's a button down there below if you're watching on YouTube. There's a button, you know, in this kind of region over here somewhere. Maybe I don't know. I never know what and it's also not mirrored, so pointing is difficult on StreamYard. But
yeah.
They YouTube has been kind enough to allow me to monetize our YouTube channel.
Attaboy.
Which is going to, you know, which puts a couple dollars in the pot, literally.
Which is going to change absolutely nothing, but yeah.
Yeah. And then if you want to further support the show, you can join the VIP, which there is a join button below the box that you are watching right now. And you can join there. And the benefits to that as it stands right now is on Fridays when I do my Lakers look back, you know, when we look back on the Lakers, their week in review, you can come on stage, you can ask questions, you can give your takes and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I will be throwing the link into the VIP section to be able to do so there. And eventually when we get things up and running a little bit better, we'll do some exclusive content there that you will not get anywhere else. So,
I don't know if people are probably sick of me at this point, but if they are not, I will commit right now. I will do another show a week with you, VIP only.
There you go. I like
it. Let's do it. I mean, everybody's sick of me at this point, I would imagine. That will probably lose you VIP subscribers. But if you wish, I will do another show with you, VIP exclusive only. And where I'll tell the good stories.
Oof. There's some good ones. Maybe I'll tell my Jim Buss story in there. Like that would be,
that wouldn't probably not be the episode for me to be on, but
all right. We don't have a ton of time here because you are literally about to hop on a flight.
Yeah.
Fly out to Phoenix and possibly play in the Lakers.
I people probably know this, but if you don't, I ruptured my patella tendon in January. In the most embarrassing way possible, I would say. Probably.
Yeah.
I was actually on my way to a game, walking down to the garage to drive to the game, completely sober, was looking at my phone, texting, and fell down the stairs. So this is the Lakers team orthopedist was nice enough to fix it for me. In February, but I have just now really started getting back in the gym. And I did a pretty good rehab on it yesterday, full, and my knee is arguing with me. So I don't know how much help I will be tomorrow in Phoenix, but if they need me, I mean, I got six fouls I can give.
You couldn't have been worse than Christian Wood was yesterday.
Right? You know, Lucy, this is why I had to.
Christian Wood was signed and considered the AD replacement on those games that AD isn't able to go. He played 22 minutes yesterday, had one field goal attempt and two free throws, missed all three of those.
Yeah.
And
that's as many points as you and I had, if my math is right.
Yeah. And was just bullied around the court. Actually, from the very get go, I don't know. Did you notice this, Aaron, on the tip of the game? And actually the next jump ball that he did too, Alperen Şengün does this thing where, if, like, you know, obviously if there's, you know, if I'm lining up, right, everybody lines up with their hand, the ball's like in the middle here.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody has their hand up here. But did you notice that, like, instead of jumping this, like, or instead of jumping up, Şengün just like throws himself like into the,
yeah, so guys do that if they can get away with it. Actually, what really surprised me is
he did it twice. Şengün
was able to. So on Tuesday, True and I did a late night All Access Lakers on Playback, and Roosh, who hosts another room there, who's a big Rockets fan, like came on to join us kind of organically. And because he and I had gotten in a little discussion about Şengün and Domantas Sabonis on Twitter the night before. And so it was kind of cool. It ended up
Spider-Man
being,
meme.
I mean, that was basically my point. except Sabonis is a little better of a rebounder.
Yeah.
And so he was talking about how much, and I'm a big Şengün fan, by the way, and I've been wanting the Rockets to run their entire offense through him for a couple of years now, as opposed to giving it to KPJ and Jalen Green, who just kind of work their way into long twos contested for no reason. You know, explore the studio space. But he was talking about how much that Şengün has been a bully, you know, like kind of is a bully now and plays bully ball. And I was like, he was a bully yesterday. And
yeah,
was like walking people up under the rim. And and True made a good point on the stream the other day, is that you'll know very quickly about the Lakers, because the Lakers are going to get everybody's best punch. And for the Lakers, it tends to be about effort and motivation and want to. And I always say you can't fake desperation. That's usually in a playoff setting. But, you know, when somebody's down 2-0 and trying to come back, you know, you can't fake desperate. The Lakers just, like, emotionally were not ready to play from immediately and just got pushed around all night.
Yeah.
But even with the talent available,
yeah,
the Lakers are better than the Rockets. And the NBA is so good. Like, everybody is so good now. Every team is so good now that if you're not ready to play, and we saw this kind of in Orlando also. Orlando just kind of physically punked the Lakers and pushed them around. And I was going to say, because I was watching Denver last night, Denver and the Warriors was good. Denver tried to punk the Warriors and it didn't work. But, like, the Lakers just got pushed around. Yeah. And, like, emotionally and energetically, they weren't ready to go.
Yeah, a lot. I'd had a bit of a field day with last night's game.
I have not gone back through your timeline. Should I avoid it?
I would say the lowdown would sum it up pretty well. Like, okay, you actually probably should have listened to it while you were working out. Like, it was like that. Like,
no, I worked out before the game, so no.
If a show could be like a music genre, I would say yesterday's episode or today's episode was screamo. Like, it was me.
I don't know,
like,
what that is, but it sounds intense.
Not particularly thrilled with what I saw last night.
I can understand why.
So, like, yeah, I honestly, like, that offers us a nice little segue into what I consider this team's, I think, core problem is, and they're like basketball issues, obviously, like, and we'll get to some of those, but this team's core problem to me is that, like, and I was concerned about this heading into the season. They headed into this year, it feels like made men. You know that scene, obviously it's a meme or whatever too, but the scene where the guy is walking into the room. I think it's Goodfellas. Where he's walking into the room and he thinks like he's about to be made right by the family. And he walks in and gets shot in the back of the head because like you just, you can't.
No, get I don't, up. But okay. I think I've seen Goodfellas once or twice. Yeah. Okay.
I think it is Goodfellas.
It's one of the mob movies. One of the mafia mob.
Yeah.
Movies.
And it's the Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci is walking into this room. He's wearing like his best suit and he's like, you know, he's like all proud and stuff. He's taking for granted the fact that he made it. And then he gets shot in the back of the head. And like the kind of one of the points there is that like you can never take for granted that you make it. And I really feel like this team takes a lot for granted. And like last night's game was the perfect example of, you know, taking a lot for granted. Christian Wood has played well this season, especially in comparison to expectations. And I thought last night he gets the start and immediately like becomes the pumpkin, you know, like turns back into the pumpkin. And it was just like, it was.
You're already declaring the clock struck midnight on Christian Wood. We're already there.
Didn't it? Like on last night's game,
at least. Last night he was not good.
His score line was literally a pumpkin. Like it was literally the shape of a pumpkin.
I mean, zeros are a little more slender than pumpkins, I guess. But I mean, it's like a
circle that Avery is writing right now.
You're just giving like him the you're giving him the Tony Snell cardio. So I had like two like big questions. I'll put it this way because this is more specific and speaks to last night. My main question going into the year was, how are the Lakers going to guard when Anthony Davis is not on the floor?
It turns out they won't.
That was my supposition going into the year. But it speaks to like how otherworldly AD is because the Lakers defense has been pretty damn good this year with the guys on the perimeter having not a great defensive season, shall we say? And AD, because he is so damn good, just cleans up everything, right? I've done sports radio a lot in my life, and I used to say this about Aaron Rodgers, that Aaron Rodgers is the best deodorant in the NFL, right? Because he can have guys that are kind of stinky around him, and Aaron Rodgers just finds a way to make it work because he's that good. It kind of, it's like not that it doesn't matter.
Coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, who turned out to be like the worst coach in the history of football, that guy.
It almost doesn't matter what you put. I mean, of course it matters, but it almost doesn't matter what you put around AD. AD is so good and can cover up for all kinds of like guys that aren't good defenders or guys that are fine defenders but make mistakes on a certain possession. He is so good and all over the place that AD is like the best defensive deodorant on planet Earth, right? Like people would say that, you know, like Rudy Gobert, and by the way, Minnesota's defense is incredible this year.
Yeah.
So people used to say that Gobert, like by himself, is a top five defense. AD is different because Gobert, yes, Gobert is an incredible defender and you're not going to get anything at the rim and he looks really good again this year. But AD is like that, but also can cover up for mistakes on the perimeter. And the thing with Gobert was always like, you know, with Utah, he would have four terrible defenders around him. They would get cooked. And in the playoffs, Gobert would be twisting himself in circles, having to run out to the perimeter and the thing would break. AD is capable of doing those things that Gobert is not. So AD is a great defensive deodorant. And without him last night, I mean, I stopped paying attention. I stopped looking at the numbers. But I think at one point, I think the Rockets had like 50 something points in the paint. And so at one point I stopped watching and I left the house. And I listened on the radio. So I always record the games, I go back and watch them again to get basketball stuff, right? But like when it was decided, I left the house. And so I listened to Johnny. I listened to Ireland, and it was just Ireland and Michael. And Ireland was just like so in the radio because that like separates some things, right? And he was just like, and Johnny was just like, and so-and-so, it didn't even matter. Like so-and-so to the rim, there's no one there, another layup for the Rockets. It was basically like over and over and over. I don't know what the points in the paint finished at, but the Rockets, it was just a parade to the rim.
I think they just made another layup. Like while you and I have been talking, I think Jalen Green just got by D'Angelo Russell again.
So the one that really bothered me, and again, I got to go back and watch it, and I will because I'm either a sadist or a masochist or maybe both. I don't know. The one that got me was like, I think it was Jeff Green was like beat somebody off the bounce and was like Jeff Green all the way to the rim and lays it up. Jeff Green is my age.
So Jeff Green got a haircut and I didn't recognize him yesterday. I was like, who's the other Green here? And I was like,
not Jalen. So my two issues.
Wait a second.
my question going into the year was how are the Lakers going to guard without AD? And
they won't.
Our first answer is not at all.
Yeah.
My other question was like, what is the identity going to be? And because of the injuries, frankly,
soft is the identity right now.
The Lakers haven't been able to figure out what they are yet, right? Like, what is the thing that the Lakers do? And we don't have an answer to that yet. The optimistic view is there have been some positive things, but the injuries have not let it like really not let the cake bake fully yet, as they like to say on LFR. But that's my other question right now is I don't know what the Lakers are quite yet.
So
other than mediocre, because that's been the answer so far.
Yeah. I'm going to continue to be patient with various aspects of this team, right? There are injuries. Then that does need to be taken into account. Although we are reaching that point where we reached it a lot sooner with Trevor Ariza, where like last year, they kept on saying at the beginning of the year, was it last year or the year before? Whenever Trevor Ariza was on the team. Yeah, the year before. Remember that year how it was just like, you know, we really feel like we're going to take off once Ariza gets right.
I remember Harrison doing a whole Twitter campaign. You can't judge this team until Trevor Ariza's back.
Yeah, that stemmed from like he and I, you know, DMing back and forth or saying on the show, like, it's a little scary how much is riding on Trevor Ariza, right? And he turned it into a whole bit. And, you know, this year it's Jared Vanderbilt, who is a better player than Trevor Ariza. So we'll give him a bit of a wider berth. But like the amount of holy shit, this group, like this team needs a Jared Vanderbilt. This team needs a Jared Vanderbilt. And the amount that we're hoping that Jared Vanderbilt fixes, I like Jared Vanderbilt. I think he's a very useful player, especially in the regular season. But the amount that he is supposed to fix almost single-handedly when he gets back, I'm like, whew.
So that makes
me a little nervous.
I think it's more than Jared specifically, although perimeter defense, point of attack defense has been a big problem for this team all year, and that is his specialty.
Our point of attack defenders are getting, like, they are allowing the defense to get pierced. And then conversely, on the other side of it, they're too slow to actually pierce the defense themselves without a pick. That's a tough combo.
Yeah. So, but I think more than Jared specifically, it's the compounding effect of the injuries, right? Because Jared's probably the best point of attack defender. The second best is Gabe Vincent. And so I think the compounding effect of the injuries, plus like Jared allows you to play bigger in lineups. And so when the Lakers have had these problems of just getting destroyed on the offensive glass, Jared's bigger. So it's like the compounding effect of Jared's not available. And then Rui's not available with him. Yeah. So I think a lot of it is the compounding effect, but I was obviously I thought Rui was going to start, but I was rooting for Torian to start because I thought he was kind of,
The in-between,
like it doesn't take much off the table, but a True would talk about, I think that team's going to have trouble rebounding. I think it's a little small. And Torian has played pretty well. He shot it. he either makes like 8 threes a game or one, but he's like, on balance, he's been pretty good. But I think now I'm back to maybe the Vando team was the right team. So I think it's just been the compounding effect of all the injuries. And we're seeing, you know, like D'Lo and Austin have struggled to start the year. Austin, you know, has turned the corner a little bit, but offensively they have struggled to start the year. And so if they're going to have trouble guarding on the perimeter and, you know, be at the athletic disadvantage that they are against some backcourts, unless they're doing what they do offensively, it's not great.
So to me, it's funny. My dad loves the Lakers and stuff, and I will have just finished doing a show, and he'll ask me like for like a private show, and I love doing it. Right, I love talking basketball with my dad.
That sounded very like lights are about to come on at Spearmint Rhino or something like that.
All right, everybody.
You want to private?
To the
Please
stage.
Welcome to the main stage.
Here comes Anthony the Pumpkin Irwin. Like,
welcome to the now appearing on the main stage, Anthony.
Yeah, I am Sparkles. But anyway, like we were talking this morning about like some of the Lakers' defensive issues, and especially as it pertains to that starting group, which. I believe the numbers have updated now. I'm going to try to find them while I filibuster here.
You're NBA.com-ing us?
Well, I'm just gonna NBA.com it really quickly. The starting group so far this season.
Do you mean who started yesterday? Are you mean any of the starters? Whoever has started?
Well, that main starting five. That five man group of D'Lo
and Austin.
Yeah, uh-huh. they are playing right now at a negative 397,000 point clip. It's craziest thing I've ever. NBA.com. I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Somebody needs to fact check that.
Actually, seems low. So. But like in 6 of 8 games that the Lakers have played this year, in the first quarter, they've been down double digits. That group, yes. You know, and last night was like, I saw that starting five and it was cool. My folks were in town, like I said, and you know, the game came on and I saw the starters like, oh my God, this is and then they started down 8-0, just boom. And I'm like, yeah, that tracks. That makes sense. You know, that they and you know, the problem with that trio of Reeves, D'Lo, and Prince, they aren't fast, they aren't particularly quick. None of them are very physical. You know, they aren't like, I guess the only person who is oversized for his position is probably D'Lo. But other than that, like Reeves is a little small for his position, Prince is a little light for his position. Yeah, I would say, and
all three of them are kind of at an athletic disadvantage.
Yeah, it's like I know that this is a four letter word, both in the English language and as it pertains to like the way that we talk about basketball. But like, it's a very soft trio, right? Like they aren't a very forceful trio. And I thought last night Rui came in, and I actually am kind of pushing for him to start instead of Prince here moving forward until Vanderbilt gets back, and then you can kind of revisit it. But he at least plays with some force. He plays with some physicality. And especially when AD isn't out there, because Wood also was playing very passive last night. And LeBron at the beginning of these games is like just not kind of there. And he's 39. You kind of expect that anyway. So last night's group was just getting pushed all around offensively and defensively. And yeah, like that's what that looks like, right? Is all of those things kind of coming to a head. And like I also was Team Prince getting minutes, you know, or starting coming into the season. I like the fact that he could shoot and can move his feet defensively. But the problem is, like in a game like last night, where he only attempts 2 3 pointers, he grabs one rebound, and it was just kind of. I think he's a little too passive for that starting group, and they need somebody. I wish Vanderbilt could shoot a little bit better. if he could, he'd be making a hell of a lot more than $5 million.
Right. You and me and every other Laker fan and Jared himself.
And he.
Cool.
But like, I wish he could shoot it, but he at least plays with some force on one side of the ball. And I think that that group really needs somebody, whether that's Rui or whether it's Vanderbilt, to come in there and start playing with more force than Prince currently is. Cause like, and I see a lot of pushing for splitting up D'Lo and Austin. And it's like, man, if you do that, things get tricky quickly because Gabe isn't available and frankly hasn't been very good this year.
I think he's made 1-3.
I think a fun
question.
He
started 0-12. I think he's made one since. But
I lit the Slack on fire last night by asking if anybody in there, you know, and maybe I'll put this to the viewing audience right now. Would you rather have Lonnie Walker at the money that he's making or Gabe Vincent at the money that he's making? I know my response.
I mean, stop it.
But like, all right. So if you're going to split up Austin and D'Lo, are you starting
for whomst?
Right. Are you starting Gabe if he's healthy next to D'Lo? Are you starting him next to Austin? Because a lot of those problems still remain. Are you starting Max for one of those two guys? Because he actually plays with a little bit of force defensively and doesn't need the ball in his hands on offense.
He's so small though.
Yeah, he looks really light. And he also, like, I think he's shooting 12.5% from 3-point range this year.
So that's not an exaggeration. Was like, he's got to be on the floor instead of Cam. So he can, I mean, like, okay, I guess I probably trust Max to make a three. Max is also, I don't know if he shot any yesterday. He, at the time when Cam missed that shot in Miami, Max was 1-8 on the year, 12.5%. So,
yeah,
I mean,
here's my
concern about splitting up D'Lo and Austin. And I get it because, like, defensively, they've been bad and they are at a, like, size wise, it's okay, but they are at an athletic disadvantage against most backcourts in the NBA.
Every backcourt that has ever existed.
Most backcourts in the NBA. In Miami against Lowry and Tyler Hero, they're not at a like athletic disadvantage. But most backcourts, they're going to be at a size.
That's what it takes.
Size
Kyle Lowry's
and or
giant ass is what it takes to have to not.
They're going to be. I'll just keep talking. They're going to be at a size and or athletic disadvantage. In that one, they are not. But in most backcourts, they're going to be at a size and or athletic disadvantage.
Yeah.
The problem, though, is as – and again, I said it earlier, right?
Speaking
offensively,
of pumpkin,
offensively, the two of them haven't – I mean, Skims is now a partner with the NBA.
Do you think Kim Kardashian was like, all right, we're really excited for this partnership, and then she saw Kyle Lowry, she's like, oh, God.
That may have sealed the deal. That may have been Kyle Lowry's BBL may have been what actually made the partnership official. The last like little hurdle to clear.
Kyle Lowry's going to be like the face for lack of a better
the
term.
Spokesperson. Yeah. The face of, but you'll never see his face. So good for Kyle Lowry. He's a Hall of Famer. I think the real issue has been that the two of them just have not provided the necessary offense to. And like make Austin's okay. D'Lo's been bad. Like we talked about it in the preseason. Like D'Lo really focusing on that side of the ball. And I said, I mean, I got to see it to believe it. And he hasn't been good defensively in the regular season. Austin hasn't been great either. That's okay if they are at, you know, at 85, 90, 100% of themselves offensively. And so far, that just hasn't happened. My hesitation with they are, other than LeBron, they're the two best creators on the team. And I haven't looked since last night's game. I haven't updated. But going into last night's game And I don't think last night's game did the numbers any favors. But going into last night's game, the Lakers had an 88 offensive rating without LeBron on the floor. Mm. For context, that is like a 1992 New York Knicks Miami Heat game.
Yeah.
And they're not shooting well in that game. So, like, if, especially with AD out, and AD says he's going to play tomorrow in Phoenix. He also said he was going to play last night. So without
D'Angelo
AD,
Russell, just really quickly,
go ahead.
To your point, and this is an actual number that this is, I'm not making this one up this time, but D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reaves have played 153 minutes together so far this season. Mm-hmm. In those minutes, the Lakers have an offensive rating of 107.7 and a defensive rating of 125.8. They are minus.
So that's not good. And the problem is a lot of those minutes are with LeBron. So without LeBron
and AD, frankly.
Yeah. The defensive part. Yeah. Yes. An 88 offensive rebound, offensive rating. And again, like I make a point of this online. Defensive rating and offensive rating are not individual stats, right? They are team stats, so they're not individual stats. And using them as an individual stat, so-and-so has an offensive rating of whatever, is very misleading. But I don't know.
This one is.
I don't know where the Lakers, if you split those two guys up in the starting lineup, you're bringing somebody in who is a worse offensive player. And yes, Austin and D'Lo, Austin's been better recently. Austin and D'Lo have not done what we hoped they would do offensively. But if you're bringing in a worse offensive player, I don't know how the Lakers score.
Well, and part of the problem, and this is why, you know, I said over the summer as often as I did, the Lakers tried to, you know, essentially optimize their roster heading into this season, and in doing so, limited their options to change things if need be, right? That was why I was kind of frustrated that they just let Bamba expire and let Beasley expire and didn't bring
Malik,
back
the same Malik Beasley who has not made a shot in Milwaukee.
I know,
and has been removed from their starting lineup.
I'm not saying that
Mo Bamba have a minute yet this year? I actually don't know.
But I don't mean that like those guys would help in any basketball way right now, but those expiring contracts, proper draft capital,
you can maybe
bring in somebody, Alex Caruso, who could help with a couple things here and there.
Can you, and just for the sake of the people that are listening to this later and are not watching us on YouTube presently, once you said that name, can you explain to the people what I am doing?
The giant sip. Oh, all the unnamed cognac is gone. But no, I like, and that's why, and I know that people get frustrated with me because I like to play, you know, home office GM, right? I know people get frustrated with me for stuff like that, but you know, this is why that like flexibility in the NBA is so important, because like, you don't know how things are going to go. You don't know like who might become available eventually. And you don't know who might not play up to the level that you were expecting or play above the level that they're expecting. Like, you know, as an example on my fantasy, and nobody likes to hear people talk about fantasy teams, but like I have Travis Kelce on my team. I also happen to have Sam Laporta and Taysom Hill on my team.
Three tight ends.
Well, it was bye week thing. But now like I can't drop those guys. They're too valuable to just drop. And like trading an extra tight end is kind of difficult here, right? So I fell folly to my own like annoyance here in that I made my team a little bit less flexible.
Love optionality.
And yeah, that optionality is probably going to hurt me unless I can convince one of the other 11 idiots in my league to take an extra or trade for a tight end. I got to look through the league and see who needs one, because chances are one person does. But like in this case with the Lakers, by not having any money that isn't tied to the rotation or by not having any money that can't get or that can be moved before December. This is the team.
Like, Are you advocating? And by the way, if they had signed extensions, they would not be movable now either. But are you advocating for spending money on players that can't make the rotation?
No, I well, one, I am saying one,
yes.
That,
it sounds like
well, Bamba, said all the Bamba money had a the- Bamba had a guarantee thing, right? So he would have been on a contract. They would have guaranteed him, and they could have moved
Mo Bamba. If he was guaranteed, yes, he would have.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think, he would have been tradable.
I think Beasley also had like a partial guarantee that they just turned down or something like that. I think they essentially let both.
No, you're
of
right.
Those
yeah, no, you're right. He had a team option. You are correct. Bamba had a non-guarantee, and Beasley had a team option. You're correct.
There you go. And so like those guys would have been able to be moved here this season.
That is correct.
And like, no, like, you know, do I think that they would have gotten a ton back for those guys? Like, no, because neither of those guys are NBA players, quite frankly. And I understand why, in like just a strict business sense, you're sitting here pushing back on keeping money on the books that is not dedicated to NBA players in the NBA. But also, like, having some of that cap flexibility does kind of help in a spot like this where the Lakers could probably use, like, Aaron, they're doing this five-out thing.
And okay, but hold on. Yes, but that's a separate question.
Well,
okay,
no, but like,
so hold on. Chop Christian Wood off the roster and chop one of Torian Prince or Gabe Vincent off the roster.
Happily.
Fine. So now you have this flexibility. Now you have Mo Bamba who can't play and Malik who can't play. Uh-huh. And we are, what is it, November 9th, 10th? What is the date? November 9th, right? We are where we are. It's not December yet, so you have more flexibility now than...
I think Wood to this point...
Who are you getting that helps?
I'd have to look, but...
You're just teams are just taking on Bamba or Beasley.
You're saying like sacrifice in the year. You're telling me like to sacrifice Gabe Vincent as if it's some brutal decision. I would be giving up so much.
No, and you're telling me you're sacrificing those two dudes. You're sacrificing those two dudes. Either you're sacrificing Christian Wood, and you're sacrificing either Gabe Vincent or Torian Prince, so that you have more optionality between now and December 15th to acquire whom? Who is helping for those two dudes now? Whoever NBA you want is not available from another team because the other team is also 8 games into their season and is trying to figure out what's going on.
Well, the Bulls are finding out pretty quickly that what the point of this season is going to be.
The Bulls played an overtime game last night and it has not gone to their hopes, I would imagine, thus far. Although I don't think the Bulls are like all of a sudden have decided it's fire sale time.
A certain somebody on the Chicago Bulls who wears a headband, the national bird of our country is making $9.4 million. You're telling me that if the Lakers offered expiring money and a first, an unprotected first for that player, the Bulls wouldn't think seriously about it?
What I am telling you is, wait, is that what you want to do? Like on November 9th, you want to offer an unprotected first already?
I would have done it last year. I would have done it forever.
No. Last year's different. We're talking about right now. We're talking about 8 games into the year. After already last year giving up one to completely make over the roster. You've just decided that's the thing. I like it. I mean, it's bold. I like it. I mean, I don't like
Chicago bold.
It's Chicago bold. I don't like it, but I like the fact that you're being bold. I don't actually like it.
It's like you're like an elementary school teacher who like I walk in with the class project and she's like, Interesting, Anthony.
Okay, so
all right.
If your white adult son were to return, and we're talking about a starting lineup, I don't know who you're sending out. You send out money that matches. Well, you can't presently, but okay. So who are you, like, now the starting lineup is? Now look, it would help with some of the perimeter defense issues. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't know that, and he's one of my favorites. He is literally one of my favorite guys in the NBA. And I like him as a player, too. That's helping the offense with LeBron off the floor.
Well, all right. So my thinking there would be that he would start, and it would move. You could viably split up those two guys, and that would help the offense when LeBron isn't on the floor.
I mean, if those guys were playing offensively well enough that it wasn't a problem. Now
the reason that they're not playing very well offensively is that they're stepping on each other's toes. Like it's
okay.
All it's right. Like my turn, your turn thing. We don't have a ton of time here. We have 35 seconds and it's a topic that requires more than 35 yes. seconds to hit on, but
we'll save this for the VIP, the exclusive VIP.
There you go. One. Yeah. The five out offense concept thing, it just, and this is where I'm going to give them some time. And this is why I'm fine with dedicating only 35 seconds to this topic right now, because I think it requires more time to see what they're actually trying to do here. But this five out offense to me is a little too egalitarian, and it features a lot of your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn, his turn over there sometimes too. And I think that has led to, I've been saying all season that Austin is having almost an identity crisis right before our eyes, where he wants to attack. He is a naturally, offensively, he likes to attack. That's how he sets up the rest of his game. But I almost feel like he's reluctant to really go that far in that direction because he doesn't know how to find that balance here with this, team-wide offensive approach. And I do kind of think that, yeah, bringing in a lesser offensive player is counterproductive counterintuitive. But I don't necessarily think it would counterproductive because that player might not need the ball in their hands to feel comfortable as both D'Lo and Austin need to. It's kind of the problem.
Who are you sitting though? Which one?
As of right now, it has to be Reeves. D'Lo's playing better.
I thought you wanted the whitewash, backcourt.
I thought that's what you were advocating for. The chaos enjoyer in me would really love to see the reaction to an Austin Reeves Alex.
And then all of a sudden, Boston fans are losing a little bit of their hatred for the Lakers.
Yeah. It's
That's really what you want, actually.
Really big in Indiana.
You want to bring in Plumlee? I don't care that his knee is sprained. Bring in Plumlee.
All right, man. We're gonna have to. We're gonna have to cut this thing short because you have to hit your flight out to Phoenix. Appreciate you hopping on. Appreciate everybody. No worries. Following along with us. Please join those VIPs and help me make those Friday shows, the project that they can be. We did a fun one a couple weeks ago. Wasn't able to do it last week because I was traveling, but we will be doing it again tomorrow as well. So, and I believe I'm doing all Access Lakers.
Tonight. Yes, yes. Either it's up to you. Your choice.
You know, the Lakers haven't won since I stopped doing that. I went on two wins in a row that I did, and then they haven't won since.
So either... either Friday or Sunday, it's up to you. The game Friday or the game Sunday, it's up to you. Either one.
The if they win on Friday in a game that I do that for, the actual Lakers get at me and pay me to do that show.
That's a good question. I will not be able to because I will be in Phoenix at the game Friday and then obviously at the home game Sunday. So your choice, either one, Friday or Sunday.
Safe travels, buddy. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Subscribe, and we'll talk to you guys money on.
Go to the VIP, and I'll do, I don't know,